So Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodeshim is the mitzvah Rosh Chodesh. So the whole parak of Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, the second parak, is about the process of the Edom coming in, telling the Beis Din, Beis Din being Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh. And the parak ends with a very interesting Mishnah, Sandaf Chav Dalet in Rosh Hashanah. Demus Tzureis Levanais Hayu Loi L'Rabban Gamliel B'Yavne. Rabban Gamliel had in his office in Yavne, he had pictures of moons. Moons in different positions relative to the sun and the sky, and he would interrogate the Edim, those Edim that he couldn't talk to on a sophisticated level, like how many degrees above the horizon was it. He would show them pictures and say, Kazeri Isai Kazet, did it look like this? Did it look like that? That's the Mishnah. So then that provokes a whole Amud of Gemara, a fascinating Amud of Gemara that gives us Sugya and Halacha, makes up a siman of Shulchan Aruch, not one of the most well-known areas of Shulchan Aruch, but it's Halacha L'maisa. The Gemara asks, Umishari, is it permitted to have pictures of the moon? V'aksiv, but the Pasuk says, Laisasun iti, and that you shall not make iti with me, and that's interpreted to mean things that are associated in some way with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara, it's Abaye in particular, Abaye keeps on pushing off the Makshin, and saying, oh no, there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing objectionable. He says, that pasuk, it means this, or it means that, or it means the other thing. So he goes through a bunch of possibilities, and each time the Gemara brings another brisa, which puts him back on the defensive. But first he says, that's talking about making things that, like a likeness of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to build a house that's the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to build a candelabra that's a replica of the menorah with seven branches. But that's the only thing that's Asr. And then the Gemara brings another Braisa, and he says, okay, there's also an Isr of making a replica of the Kisei HaKavod. That's a replica of the Kisei HaKavod. Demus Arba Levanais Bahadi, I'm sorry, Arba Partsufim Bahadi Adadi. The Nevi'im described the Kisei HaKavod as being four-sided. One side was an eagle, one side was a lion, one side was a person, one side was a shur, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya. So that's the sculpture that's not allowed, but everything else is permitted. And then the Gemara brings another brace, and the Gemara says, okay, fine, there's also an Isser on making an Adam. You're not allowed to make a form of a human being, of a person. And then the Gemara concedes once more that there's an Isser of making Malachim. Malachim, Asrafim, Ifanim, Chayos, all the different kinds of Malachim is also included. But each time the Gemara says this to resist the notion that there's something wrong with making pictures of moons, until finally the Gemara brings a brisa which is explicit, black and white. It says that we learn from Leisas and Iti, they're not allowed to make a picture, you're not allowed to make a demus of the Chama, the Levana, the Kachav, and the Mazalais. So finally the Gemara is forced to confront the Kasha. How could Rabban Gamliel have these pictures? It's a mafurish that it's Aser. And so the Gemara says, okay, so Rabban Gamliel had one of a variety of excuses. One possibility is the Gemara says that Achirim Asulai, he didn't make them himself. There's an Isra on making these things, but he didn't make them. He got somebody else to make them, a guy to make them. Or the Gemara says Lehislamid Avad, that he did it for educational purposes, and this whole Isser is suspended when it's Lehislamid, when it's for educational purposes, and over here was for the sake of. No, it's not, the Gemara does not mean to say that it's limited to worship. It's clear that there's even Linoi, that when you're making these things for decorative purposes, that's included in the Isser, but there's an exception for Lehislamid, that if it's done to help people understand what the moon looks like, if that's what you're making your pictures of for, so then it's permitted. So that's the whole Shach of Tyre of the Gemara with a couple of other digressions along the way. But basically what emerges from that Gemara is that there are five different types of forms that are included in the Isser Leisasuniti. There is the Beis HaMikdash and the Kelim of it. There is the Kisei HaKavod. There is Adam. There is Malachi HaShareis. And there is and then there is the Chama Levana, the Kachav Mazalit.
The dimensions there are, you can't do it. You
want to
make a balance?
I don't think it mentions all right over there.
You have to try not to. You have to understand what it is and not do that, or you shouldn't try to make the Aron side.
I don't think Aron is mentioned in the Gemara.
Or whatever, the Beis HaMikdash.
The Beis HaMikdash, yeah, a house that's the same dimensions as the Beis HaMikdash is included in the Isser. If you
exactly understand, you should know what
it is. Right, you shouldn't, meaning
You know, saying if you just meant to be, your architect proposed a certain design and it ends up being the same as Beis HaMikdash, yeah, I think that, I would assume that that's still included in the Isser.
The picture of the moon and the sun, if it doesn't stick out, it's a problem?
Excellent question. So now then the Gemara, there's, so we'll come back to that a little later on in more detail, but for starters, it's important to mention that the Gemara brings a Braisa which talks about signet ring, and the Braisa says, it's a little bit of a complicated Braisa, but it says that if the that there's a the signet ring is problematic when its form is recessed, because then when it makes a form in the wax, that form is going to be protruding, and from there the mashmos for the Gemara is that in all of these instances, what we're talking about is 3D images. Protruding, boilate is the word of the Gemara, that this is on 3D images. We'll see later on that there's some, that's a little more complicated than that, but for now, we'll think of it that way, that we're talking about three-dimensional images, statue, sculpture, of any of these five things are included in the Isser. Now, some of these are, some interesting pointers. The post can point out that it says that you're not allowed to make a house that's the same dimensions, the length, the width, the height of the Beis HaMikdash. Which Beis HaMikdash? The second Beis HaMikdash was not the same as the first Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So the Pesach Yeshuvah brings down to the Beis Ephraim, discussed that shaila. That was an interesting shaila, not so much for the halacha l'maisa of it. Okay, you know, when you're designing a house, I guess you have to know which dimensions in particular are forbidden. But it becomes a very exciting shaila more conceptually. Is there still a chashivas to the first Beis HaMikdash now that we've already had the second Beis HaMikdash? Is there, on the contrary, maybe is the second Beis HaMikdash considered chashiv? It wasn't really done with the same type of instructions as the first Beis HaMikdash. So you have an exciting kind of a Beis HaMikdash discussion over there. There's a somewhat similar discussion on if you're keeping track. So the first of the five types of things that are usher is the Beis HaMikdash. The second was the Kisei HaKavod. So there's a similar discussion over there. Now here it's going to sound funny, but the first Kisei HaKavod or the second Kisei HaKavod. What do I mean by that? So I mentioned the lion, the eagle, the man, and then you mentioned the shur as the fourth. Now that's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the fourth side is Demus Shur. The pasuk in Yecheskel, though, says on the fourth side was Demus Kruv. And the Gemara in Chagig on Daf Yud Beis tells a story about how and why Yecheskel had a different, so a different, whatever. But the Shach talks about this question of, so what in the Isser v'Leisasaniti, now this again is not really going to be all that again, halacha l'maisa probably. I don't know, if anyone's likely to be making that kind of image, unless Lamed, to show people what the Kisei HaKavod looks like.
What's the
fourth one? The Kruv. Whatever that means.
I don't get it. It's a non-physical world up there, right?
Lagavi the Kisei HaKavod, sure it's non-physical, but the Nevi'im described it with these four things. So the Isser is Chal on making the image of these four things. Again, which four exactly,
so
that's the Shach is wondering.
On what the Nevi'im.
But the third or the fourth item that I mentioned on the list was Demus Malachim. And there, your Ha'ara is a stronger one. What does it mean to make an image of a Malach? What's an image of a Malach? So, what? So.
A man with wings.
Ah, okay.
A man with wings.
So Yid says man with wings. Now, where do you get that from?
There's a pasuk
in Yeshaya that describes the Malachim that he saw, that he beheld as having wings. But what's interesting is that he says, Sheish Knafayim Lo'echad, six wings. Now, when you see angels in picture books, usually they have two wings. I guess six wings is a little bit cumbersome for the artist. I don't think Michelangelo knew how to make six wings. What? So there's an interesting comment in the Rilu Neil in his Pirush on Avodah Zarah. This Gemara that I mentioned, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Dalet, it's a whole omen of Gemara. The exact same Gemara, word for word, appears also in Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Gimel. And so the Rishonim, talking in both places.
And the Bilunil on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that this Isser of Malachim means Jewish Malachim. That means with six wings. You can go, you know, make the way the Galachim make their Malachim with two wings. That's not a Jewish Malach. That's not going to be a violation of the Isser. It only means with six wings. Ironically, there's another comment that you find in the Darchi Tshuva brings down from the Shalos Tshuvas Dvar Shmuel from Shmuel Abu Av, if I'm not mistaken, 1500s, maybe 1400s, where he talks about how in his Machzor, in an illuminated Machzor, there are pictures of Malachim, and he expresses annoyance, not because of the Isser. There's no Isser. It's just pictures, like you said before. You know, it's not 3D, just pictures. So there's no Isser. But he said, why are the angels in my Machzor two-winged angels? What are these, Christian angels in my Machzor? But he says, you know, if... you could say that it's not a nice thing altogether to put pictures into the Machzor. That's a separate debate. But if we have a picture in our head of what a Malachim look like, it shouldn't come from the Goyim. So if you want to get styles from the Goyim, you want to wear jackets that the Goyim wear, okay, fine. But Malachim? Our Malachim should be Jewish Malachim, not Goyish Malachim. Jewish Malachim have six wings. So the Rila Neil was making this comment about the Isser, that the, you know, it, you should be Machmir not to have a six-winged Malach. But the Rabbi Shmuel Abuav was complaining that people weren't making the six-winged Malach. But both of them will come from the same perspective. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, Sheish Kanafayim La'achad. What I wonder, though, is there's a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, when he talks about the different kinds of beings that Hashem created, so he says there are some beings that have, his words are, Tzura B'loi Goylam, which I think the way it translates into English is a form without substance. And how does that translate?
Or even without form.
More practically, I really don't know. I think it's philosophical terms, form without substance.
Isn't it more image without substance, without form, without physicality?
Yeah, I think he means without physicality. That's why I'm using the word substance for that, without physicality. But I think he means to be saying, but it has a shape. Right? It has a shape, that means it's not...
Amorphous?
Right, it's not amorphous, because each one is distinct from the next one, meaning there could be two malachim. It's not just a blob of malachness. It's two malachim, three malachim. So that's why I think he's saying that there's a tzura, but there's no goylam. But then the Rambam writes, I'm saying that there's no physicality to it. The Navi uses, he talks about wings. So the Rambam explicitly says that the wings are just symbolic. They're a metaphor. Not metaphysical, a metaphor. There's no real wings. He says the idea of wings means to suggest that it's not earthbound. It doesn't have the heaviness that keeps, it's not bound by gravitational forces that keep it down on earth. So it's the kind, I mean, because it's ethereal, it's like too, you know, it's almost non-physical, or it's non-physical, so such things don't stay on Earth. Right? Think of it like a helium balloon. That's what the Rambam says the wings are meant to convey. The wings in the pasuk mean to say that these are not things that are stuck to the Earth. They could hover around, they could fly, because they're not really physical enough to be bound by gravity. I think that's what the Rambam is saying is meant by the wings. But that means that a picture of a man with wings has no shaykhis to what an angel really looks like, according to the Rambam. What does an angel look like? I don't think we have any idea.
Two or six wings.
But?
And not enough committed. Two or six wings.
Right. Yeah, according to the Rambam, it's not a question of two or six. But then what I wonder is, then how would the Rambam have understood this Gemara? The Rambam elsewhere, where's this Gemara brought down? I think in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he brings down all the halachas of Leisas and Niti, so he says, like the Gemara says, that one, you know, he goes through the Tavanus of the Beis Hamikdash, actually is not mentioned over there, but the Kisei Kavod and the Adam and the Malachim, he mentions Malachim, and then he mentions the Chama Levana, but what does he mean by Malachim? So the Rila Neil told us that it means a being with six wings. According to the Rambam, I don't know if it's going to mean that, but what is it going to mean? The Rambam doesn't explain.
Maybe he means what a person perceives it to be.
I mean, whatever you think
whatever
a malach
think,
is.
So if you're trying to make a picture of a malach, and maybe, in your mind it has one wing, it has five wings, it doesn't really matter, but
maybe
you're trying to emulate.
Why does it have to be Why does it have to be something you can picture?
The Isser Leisazaniti is to make the form of it.
The Malach, you mean?
Right, to make the form of a Malach. That's one of the five Leisazanitis we were saying at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So what would that mean if a Malach doesn't have any particular form that we're aware of? I don't know. You know, when kids play in the snow, one of the games, you know, you can make a snowman, one which is one issue, perhaps. But one of the games that kids play in the snow is snow angels. How do you make a snow angel? You lie down, and then you move your hands up and down, so that you get the image of a person with two wings on the, like, ask your grandchildren.
I don't think we could bring a rye from there.
No, I'm not bringing a rye. I'm asking if it's mutter.
Oh.
Is it mutter? You're making...
Kids also use their legs like this, those four wings.
Oh, yeah? Right. Okay.
That's true. Right.
Okay. Okay, so, but I'm raising the shaila whether that snow fun activity is a violation of Leisasun Iti. But the Rebbe Nil says that two wings, we don't recognize that as a malach. Sure. We don't recognize that two winged being as a malach. Okay. Now,
the only way to understand it is that it's whatever you think it is.
That the only way you mean according to the Rambam. If you there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that describes what a malach looks like. If you take that pasuk more literally, then that's the Isser. And it seemed from the Rebbe Nil that that's how he was understanding it. We mentioned that the Shmuel Abuav also seemed to be taking it that way, that a malach is a being with six wings, a head and two arms and two legs and six wings.
Snow image is not something that lasts. It's going to melt.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. That's something maybe to consider. Yeah, well, in New York. Okay.
What exactly is the Isser, though? I'm trying to understand the Isser of.
You mean, why is this Isser?
Is it Isser?
I think so. It has to do with Avodah Zarah, but it's not because these things are worshipped. It may have to do with the fact that some of these things are worshipped somewhere, meaning that have been historically or are somewhere worshipped, or because they're associated with Hashem. The lashon of the Gemara for all of them, almost all of them, is demush shamashim hamashamshim lefanai. Those things that are thought of as being like serving God in heaven, so it's dangerous. It comes too close to active worship, to or almost like as if we're making an idol to represent Him. It's not because of a desire per se, but it somehow is in that general realm.
Okay.
Now, okay, the most well. So we talked a little bit about the Mikdash and about the Kisei HaKavod and the Malachim.
Is that going to tie into the eclipse?
Yes. Now, the most relevant, of course, of the discussions, that Pesachim have, is the fourth one that I mentioned, which is the Adam, right? Making it Demusa. That's certainly more of an issue, more in people's minds than most of these other things. It says in the Gemara, you can't make the image of a person. Now, in the olden days, this was, it's surprising how little discussion there was. Obviously, nowadays we have cameras, so, we have pictures all the time. In the olden days, of course, there were no cameras. There were paintings, but I don't know how much of a Jewish thing that was. It seems that there was not so much of a, there are a couple of discussions that about, from times of Achronim,
every Sukkot
about
decoration is over the
questions, bedroom. Right, that's true, yeah. Of paintings.
Caesar,
but the
statues of Caesar.
Right, but that was those were Goyish
Hazachen.
Did Jews do that? Now, I mentioned, the Pashas of the Gemara is that the Isser is just on 3D, although there is, I said before, that's the Pashas of the Gemara. Tosis and the Rosh understand that that's the Halacha, that a flat image of a person is not an Isser. Therefore, pictures and paintings are not going to be included in the Isser. But the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban has a different reading of the understanding of the Gemara, and the Ramban holds that the Isser includes flat images also, and the Shach says that HaMachmer Tavei Lebrach, even though the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, Paskins, that it's only for raised images or 3D images, but there's a HaMachmer Tavei Lebrach, and the Shach brings down for the Ramban, that even flat images, I don't know if that's accepted. The Shach says that in later poiskim, you know, or at least later generations, is the Olam really makbid on that? I think for the most part, probably not. But there's another big machlokes rishonim. When we talk about an Adam, does it mean the whole Adam, or dafka, or is there an Isra even on just having the head? The head of a person.
They have a picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the shul.
Okay. We all have pictures nowadays.
Sure, yeah. Going to a wax museum a problem? Are you allowed to go to a wax museum?
Going to one, I think, doesn't go into this Isser, but making that, yeah. That, yeah, that would be, yeah. making.
What is the makor of this Isser? Is it because you're going to get to worship it, or just like a blank Isser, you shouldn't do it, like what? Or is it because you're going to turn into an avodah zarah? You're going to start worshiping the kisei kavod. You're going to worship a picture of a man.
Even if that may be the time of dekra, but this is not a gezeirah derabbanan. This is the pasuk of leisasa nitiyah and the way Chazal interpret the pasuk. Right. But Chazal is saying that this is an isra that's intended by the pasuk.
Where's the pasuk?
The end of Parshas Yisrael. So that's a time of dekra question. I don't know. Is it associated with avodah zarah?
It's like they can't make an image of God. Man, I mean, this is
right. That's I guess like kind of a tilde.
Right,
but that's all, you know, representing God Himself, and then this is a separate lav. It's not in the Aseret HaDibros. So the second issue is about just the head versus the whole body. So one of the test cases, meaning one of the earlier instances where it was really discussed halacha lamaisa, again in the times of the Rishonim, it seems that they didn't really have shailas about this. There are no old shailas about this that I'm aware of. But the poskim will bring down that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin got all excited about an event that happened in the 1700s in his lifetime. There was a Chashva Rav named Rabbi Elazar Rekeach, who was, when he was appointed, the Rav, he came from, I think from Eastern Europe, from Galicia, but he was appointed the Rav in Amsterdam. That was the usual route in those days. The affluent communities in Western Europe hired Rabbanim from the yeshivas of Eastern Europe. So he was hired as the Rav of Amsterdam, and he was very highly respected, and he was popular, and he was beloved. And the government issued a coin with his image on it. And Rabbi Yaakov Emdin writes that a coin is a raised image. Now, it had only his head and his shoulders. It wasn't his whole body. So according to the Rosh, we said that the Rosh holds that's not usher, and the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh. So that would seem to justify, to save it.
But he says to make it.
That's true. He says that the person that made it was Jewish. Wow. Person that made it was Jewish, but he also makes an issue about to be Mekayim it. When we're talking about, we said before, to visit the wax museum, that's okay. But to have such a thing in your house, the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda had such an image, and Shmuel was his Rebbe, and Shmuel told him, Sami Eina Dedein, knock out an eye. Knock out an eye because there's an Isra Midrabanon even of being Mekayim it in your house. Mm. So Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says that this is an issue on both sides. Mm-hmm. And he says that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says a big chiddush, that even though the Rosh writes that there's only an Isra on a complete Tzuras HaAdam, but he says, I think that he only meant, meaning and a head itself is mutter, he meant a head that's just like a stick figure kind of head. Mm-hmm. A circle, even a circle with lines and dots for eyes and nose and mouth. So that is only usher if it's attached to a body, if you have that, with arms and legs and a torso. So that's a tzuras adam. If you just have that, that's nothing. But a real parts of panim that actually looks like somebody, it's made in a realistic way, that, he says, that I think the Rosh would also agree is going to be usher. Now, that's debatable. We don't have that in the Rush's words. We have Rabbi Yaakov Emdin saying that he thinks that the Rush would hold that even that is Aser. Then Rabbi Yaakov Emdin says that I think this Rabbi Elazar Rekeach must have been a very big tzaddik, because what happened was that the government
the government, right after it was issued, the government posseled it and had it had all the coins collected, and they didn't allow it to be used. And that's because the lo yunu letzadik kol aven, the Eivishter was saving him. Now it's ironic. Other people probably saw this as an anti-Semitic thing, that the government, you know, here somebody wanted to show honor to the Jewish rabbi and he made a coin for him. And the government said, no, we're taking away that coin. We don't want you using the coin of the rabbi. Yaakov Emden said, and it was his sitkas, that he had a shmir and a shemayim, that there shouldn't be a coin with his image. But he held that the coin is a real problem. On the other hand, he tells another story, Yaakov Emden tells another story, that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, this is also in the 1700s, the Chacham Tzvi was, when he visited London, he said there was a Sephardi community in London. His father was the Rav in Amsterdam, if I'm not mistaken, before the Sreb Elazar Keach, earlier on. But there was a Sephardi community in London that begged him to come visit. They wanted to get to know him, spend some time with him, get a bracha from him. And when he was there, they said, okay, we have a painter here. We want to make a portrait of you. And he refused. Hmm. And you know, this is the first, as far as I know, the first discussion of this question of having a picture painted of a Jewish person. So he says that his father refused, but he said that he doesn't think it was Ikar Adin. Because we paskin like the Taisus, not like the Ramban, that a flat picture is not included in the Isser. There's really no Isser on flat pictures. the only Isser is when it's 3D. A painting is not 3D. That plus the fact that that he was, it wasn't going to be his whole body, which, okay, that itself, Rabbi Yaakov Emden holds, is not a heter because the face was going to be done realistically. But the fact that it was flat, he said, that means it's really not Isser, and he could have allowed it, but he didn't want to have anything to do with such things, so he ran away from it. So he tells an interesting story. He says that my father refused, and he wouldn't sit for the portrait. But there was a painter there. He said, those Sephardim really have their act together. There was a painter there who was so talented that he made the painting without him sitting for it. He saw him. You know, he came, he visited him, he said hello to him, and then he had the image in his head, and he painted it. And he said, and then they made copies, and they sold it. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, I saw that painting, and it seemed to me like my father was back alive. It was a very, very high-quality painting. But but you see in the story two things. That the Chacham Tzvi didn't allow it. B, that, at least in the opinion of his son, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it wasn't really Usser, Me'ikir Adin, and even his father didn't think it was Usser. He just was, you know, abstaining as an extra chumrah. Meaning the mashmos of this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that really we rely on the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, that flat images are mutter. There's a similar discussion again about how sort of where you see this issue starting to surface again in the 1700s, Rabbi Yehudah and Eibshitz.
Oh, about chapter T?
No.
Because Yaakov Emden was on the side of the on the fight.
Rabbi Emden was very anti. He was,
yeah. So maybe that's why he was like so concerned about like the image.
What does Shabbat Tzvi?
Because images. Was Shabbat Tzvi starting to, false Mashiach and
okay, okay. Just
trying to put in context. Nobody before that mentioned it.
Maybe. In Israel. I think it's just no Jews ever did it before that. It wasn't a Jewish thing. The art. Well, maybe art was not such a Jewish thing altogether, and if it was, maybe it took other forms, but making people, there's very little Jewish precedent for it. If the first shilas that we find are 1700s.
Mm-hmm. In Israel, there's a place called Mini Israel, where they have Beis HaMikdash, mm-hmm. They have a bunch of things.
Right.
It's not to scale.
Right, those are, even if it is to scale, but the Isser of the, going back now to the Beis HaMikdash, the Isser of the Beis HaMikdash is not to make a model of the Beis HaMikdash, even if it's to scale, it's only a building in the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Isser. So a model would not be included in that. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yehudah and Eibshitz, Rabbi Yehudah and Eibshitz has a lot of halacha svarim, and Yeriday is the crazy place, Yeruch HaShem Mishpat, he has Rambam Tumim, and other lamdasha halachasarim, but the sefer that by far has, you know, that he's most known for, you know, sold the most copies because it was more, you know, to a popular appeal,
broader audience
was the sefer Yaretz Dvash, which is drushes, the drushes that he gave. He was a magid, interestingly. He was in Prague. It was the beginning of his career was in Prague. He was not the Rav of Prague. He may have been the biggest Talmud Chacham in Prague, but the Rav in Prague at that time was Rav David Oppenheim. And his position officially was he was the magid of Prague, and his job was to give drushes. Later, when he went to Metz, he was the Rav, but he still was a big darshan. And the Sefer Yaretz Dvash is the collection of drushes that he gave in Metz. And in the Sefer Yaretz Dvash, in the middle of a longer drusha, there's a paragraph, it's brought down, I think the Peschit Shuva refers to it, that where he says that, you know, he comes from Eastern Europe. He came from originally, I don't remember, but somewhere in Eastern Europe. And the same, you know, he was following a similar route like we were describing before. He got a shtetl in Prague, which is, I guess, Central Europe, and then Metz, which is Western Europe, and then eventually he was in Hamburg. But he writes that when he came to Western Europe, he was very surprised to see that Jewish people have images in their home. And he can't believe his eyes. He never saw such a thing. It's such a goyish azach. He says, Mutter, Usser, yeah, that depends. Okay, you know, those people that have statues, I've seen some people that consider themselves from Yidden, and they actually have statues of a form of a human being in their house. That's mamash aveir v'nisra deraisa. Okay, so that's very bad. But even those people that just have paintings of people in their house, it's such a goyish azach, he says. The klipas that are attached to it. Every one of them is surrounded by thousands of klipas. If you would see the klipas that surround it, you would run out of your house. That's what he told his audience. So he was coming from a Kabbalistic point of view and saying that these things are very, very bad. And apparently in Western Europe, it was widespread, and in Eastern Europe, it was unheard of. But lahalacha, but even he acknowledges, he doesn't say that there's an isser on the pictures and the paintings. He says that he thinks that they're mutter, he just finds them un-Jewish, and he says that people should stay away from them. But there seems to be a consensus, at least lahalacha, again, if you want to be makbar on Rabbi Anderson Apshitz's warnings about the klipas, be my guest. But there seems to be pretty much, you know, Rabbi Anderson Apshitz and Rebekah Emden are both on the same side saying that there's no isser, maker din, on a flat picture of a person. And that's certainly, you know, with the Olam HaSeimicham, a sculpture of a person is a different story. That's forbidden. That, you know, there's almost never been a real discussion in halacha, but there's one very interesting, notable exception. It's a fascinating story. America in the 1800s was certainly totally out of rabbinic circles. I mean, real, like Shilas and Shuvis cards of rabbinic circles with, you know, asking Shilas and getting lumdisha answers based on, real makayres in halacha, discussions in halacha. They didn't have that in America in the 1800s. But there was this Shila, though, is an American Shila. Somewhere around the year 1860, maybe in the late 50s, Judah Turo died. Judah Turo was, at that time, the biggest philanthropist in America. At least some people say he was. He wasn't the biggest, he was one of the biggest. But he was a very, very prominent and highly respected philanthropist, very, very rich. He lived in New Orleans. Ironically, there's, nowadays, there's the Turo Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island. I think that's where he was born. But he lived most of his life in New Orleans. And the community of New Orleans decided that they're going to erect a statue of Judah Turo to commemorate, to honor his memory. And then there were people that said, there were some people that liked it and some people that said it's a bad idea. And now I was reading an article about this. Apparently the leader of the opposition, and this it really reminds you that the labels and the terms were meant different things then, and it's hard for us to really know exactly who's who and what's what. The leader of the opposition was Isaac Meir Wise, Who was Isaac Meir Wise? He's considered the father of reform in America. He was Stephen a reform Weiss, rabbi. No, but maybe he's an anacle. No, he was in the time of World War II. But we're talking in terms of the Civil War. Stephen Wise was World War II. FDR, he was buddy with FDR. Before, yeah. This is, right, it was significantly before. It could be they're related. It's W-Y-S-C, the same unusual last name. Isaac Meir Wise, I think is his name. And he was the rabbi of a Reform congregation somewhere, I don't know where. And he came and he said to the community in New Orleans, what are you doing? Graven images? It goes against the Ten Commandments. We don't do that. It's totally un-Jewish. And he raised an objection. There was an Orthodox rabbi in New Orleans who said, what are you talking about, Ten Commandments? As if that, you know, Pesel Masecha. We're not making a Pesel Masecha of anything that anybody's going to worship. We're just building a monument of a philanthropist, and there's nothing wrong with it. And there was a machlokes, and the Reform rabbi was the machmir, and the Orthodox rabbi was the makel. And they sent the shayla to Europe. They agreed, they realized that, okay, maybe we're in over our heads. And they sent the shayla to Europe. And they sent it to a panel of four rabbanim. The most right wing of their four rabbanim was Rav Shlomo Shmuel Feuerl Hirsch. Now, who I mean, he's fully right wing, you know, he's entirely, you know, halachadic and traditional, but, you know, a little bit of a, you know, they didn't send to any, let's say, you know, long coat types of rabbis, you know, very, the Eastern European type that were, you know, he had a certain streak of modernness to him in terms of his approach to the world. So they sent to him, and then to others that were, you know, even more modern than that. And the unanimous response, they sent to Zacharia Frankel, who was the head of the Jewish Theological Seminary, which was the predecessor of, the New York Jewish Theological Seminary. I don't think at that time it was officially identified as being outside of Orthodoxy. I'm not so familiar with the history. But he may have been officially an Orthodox rabbi, but definitely, you know, more, you know, in left-leaning or in the modern wing. But again, those terms meant different things then. Another person they sent to was Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport, who also is a fascinating figure. He was a son-in-law of the Kseitz HaChoshen, a world-class Talmud Chacham. He actually, you know, I should take back what I said before, because he did wear a long coat, if I'm not mistaken, had a long beard and a long coat, but he was much more associated with the Maskilim than Rav Hirsch was. He was an interesting figure. Anyway, so they sent it to these people, and they unanimously assert it. Wow. All of these rabbanim, they said that you can't. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't matter whether it's done for the purpose that this Israel Sazaniti is not for Avodah Zarah. See, Isaac Meir Wise, who said it's a violation of the Aseret HaDibros, was wrong. It's not a Aseret HaDibros. It's a few psukim later, at the end of Parashat Yisrael, where it says Leisasun Iti, and that's not, even though we said before, maybe it's like a tolda of Avodah Zarah, sort of within the broader scope of Avodah Zarah related Yisrael, but it's clearly said that it's, even if it's Linoi, you don't make a graven image of a human being. And that's, you know, it's Shulchan Aruch, Yodei Kuf Mem Aleph, it's really black and white in Shulchan Aruch, that wouldn't be allowed. And so they answered it. And then, so according to the article that I read, the Orthodox rabbi didn't really accept that. The Orthodox rabbi in New Orleans, he insisted that these, even though he had said that we'll follow whatever these rabbanim say, but then when they said that it's usur, he said no, they're wrong, and he's going to prove that it's mutter. But then while this debate was going on in New Orleans, the South seceded from the Union, and then they lost the Civil War, and then they had other things to worry about, and the statue of Judah Turo was not a big priority anymore. So that was the end of that. Wow. But that's the closest we come to a real discussion in Shaila Teshuvos about this. But I don't think in the traditional Sifrei Shaila Teshuvos it doesn't come up, because it's really a partial issur. You mentioned the wax museum. We're not allowed to do that. We're not allowed to make those kinds of images.
So there's that convinced Alexander the Great not to make the statue that he said we'll name our kids after him. Isn't there something about
Yeah, it rings a bell. I don't remember the statue part of the story, but I'm just saying I don't remember. I'm not disputing it.
Touro College.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. It's named after Touro named after the same.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know what connection they have to him. I have no idea. I did notice in this article that that I was reading that there was an article that was written in 1860 where one of the opponents, I don't remember if it was Wise or one of the other people, one of the opponents of the statue said that it would be much more fitting to take whatever money you want to use to honor him and make some kind of an institution of higher learning, like a Touro University. It has those words in the article. I have no idea if Dr. Lander ever heard of that. Wow. But there was a suggestion of a Touro University in 1860. But what connection he has to the contemporary Touro University, I really don't know. Anyway, so the prevailing view is that, at least on the first four out of the five rules of Leitasaniti, right, which are Beis HaMikdash, Kisei HaKavod, Malachim, and Adam, the issue is only if it's boiled, if it's in 3D. A flat picture, again, notwithstanding some opinions that discourage it, but it's generally accepted as being mutter. But the fifth one is different. There's a very important Taisvis. Taisvis on that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says this whole Gemara got started because the Mishnah had said that Rav Gamliel had the Must Suris Levana, the Rav Gamliel B'Yavne, the Must Suris Levana sounds like they were pictures. So if the Isser is only on 3D images, what was wrong with Rav Gamliel's pictures? Taisvis doesn't think that Rav Gamliel had, 3D images of the moon. That's not the simple reading of the Mishnah.
A globe is
the Earth.
Globe is the Earth. Correct.
Yeah. But to make a model of the sun and the moon is usher. Although, like I mentioned before, there's a heter of l'Islami. Why is somebody making a model of the sun and the moon? I mean, I saw one just yesterday, a model of the sun and the moon and the Earth. But it was a professor who was giving a demonstration. That's not Islami, that's mutter.
But it can't be done to scale.
What? It can't be done to scale. You mean it can't be done in the real measurements? No, to scale is okay. So Taisa asks, why was the Gemara making this whole issue? It was just a picture. So Taisa says that for the Chamal Levana Kechavim, over there, there's no heter of just a picture. Because the way we see it in the sky, it is just a picture. It's flat. Now, the way Tosis writes it is that the sun and the moon are flat in the sky. The way the Rush writes it is that the way they appear to us is flat in the sky. Maybe Tosis also means the same as the Rush. I'm not sure, but they both say the same halacha. We'll say it the Rush's way. Certainly, that we'll relate to it better that way. Mm-hmm. The Rush says that there's that the Isser on the sun and the moon and the stars is even a flat picture because that's the way they appear to us in the sky. So this becomes a more likely issue to come up, la halacha, than all the other Leisasanitis, right? If for the most part, we're not making 3D images, you had these rare instances that I talked about, but for the most part, nobody's really doing that. But pictures we're into, right? This our whole generation likes to take pictures all the time. And there is such a thing as a picture that's not allowed. The sun and the moon and the stars and the kechavim, I'm sorry, and the mazalites, the chamal levana, kechavim u'mazalites, Taisa says there's an iser even on flat pictures. In the olden days, they didn't have cameras, and portraits, or even paintings were not a Jewish thing. Right? In the Renaissance, the Christians started making paintings, and sure, they painted sky scenes, but you don't have shyness about it because it wasn't a Jewish thing. Where does the discussion come up in Paiskim? The Machzorim. In your Machzor, there are pictures by Tfilas Tau on Pesach and Tfilas Geshem on Sukkot, there are pictures of the mazalis. Because there's a long piyut that we all skip. We say Tfilas Tal and Geshem, but then there's a like a 10-page piyut after the part that we say. Turn those pages while the Chazan is getting to Kedusha. But if you turn slowly through those pages, most Machzeirim have pictures of the 12 mazalis, because that's what the piyut is about. The piyut goes through each of the 12 mazalis. Truthfully, I don't really know what it says about them and how it ties them into the Tal and the Geshem, but it goes through the mazalis, and it seems it's an old tradition. It does not come from any, you know, it wasn't that the Rabbanim or the Paisim ever said to put it in. The Machzeirim, the printers, put it in, but it goes back a long way. So in the 1600s, the Taz and the Shach were talking about these pictures in the Machzeirim. Pictures of the mazalis, the constellations. Chama levana kechavim umazalis, Taisa says, are aster even on flat pictures. So the Taz...
What's an example of
Mazalis?
Big Dipper.
No. So the you have over there the Aries and Pisces and Virgo and a lion, a fish, a virgin, scales. Okay. I know them so
cancer,
well.
Cancer.
Right. That's cancer. Is a what? A crab.
Crab.
A crab and scorpion. A scorpion.
Yeah.
Right. Right. They're the horoscopes. Okay. Right. Horoscopes. So though there were pictures of them in the Machzeirim, again the Gemara says, Taisa says in the Shulchan Aruch passage like this, Taisvis, that even flat pictures are supposed to be usur. So the Taz says that there's flat and there's flat. Taz says that he thinks that the isur of flat pictures means something like an embroidery, where the fabric is a picture of the, meaning it's not a picture on a surface, but the surface is made into the picture of the sun or the moon. But if it's just a painting on a wall or on a page, says he doesn't think, he thinks that that's even less than what the place we shouldn't be calling flat, and that's not going to be included in the Isser. He brings a raya because, you know, in the Gemara Minei Ubei, one of the things that the Gemara mentioned was what I was calling the Kisei HaKavod, right? Which really meant that four-sided tzura. One of the four sides is a lion. Now, if the Gemara is saying that that's Usra as a four-sided tzura, so that means it's clear from the Gemara that if I would make just a lion, that's Mutter. But a lion is one of the constellations. One of the 12 mazalis is a lion. So, and that's Usra even in pictures. So how could it be Mutter? Here the Gemara is saying that it's Mutter to make a lion... And the Gemara's mashma, even in a graven image, is mutter, because the Isser is only when it's the demus arba upon him. But why isn't it aser even to make a painting? So he says, so based on that, he says that it must be that a painting is even less than what we call a flat image, and therefore that's going to be mutter. I'm realizing I'm not saying over his proof correctly. Okay, let's pass on his proof. But that's what he wants to say, that a really flat picture is going to be mutter. The Shach disagrees. The Shach says that flat means flat, and a picture is aser. The reason why those pictures in the Machzeirim aren't a problem is because they're on 12 different pages. There's no picture of the 12 mazalis. The picture of mazalis means a picture of all 12 together. And the Machzeirim doesn't have a picture of all 12 together. That's his reason for why it's mutter. I think one might have said, this is a little bit surprising to me in their discussion, I think one might have said that those pictures don't look at all like the actual constellations. I mean, the constellations don't... I mean, there is a constellation that... The ancient people called the lion because if you look at it a certain way while squinting, you know, a certain eye, it has a certain resemblance to a lion. We call that the lion in the sky, but it's not really a lion. If I drew a picture of a lion, there's very little resemblance to those stars. The Isser maybe should be to draw a diagram of those stars. That's what I might have expected. But I don't know. That's not, that, the Shach and the Taz don't say that. They say that either because it's very flat, that's the Taz, or because it's not all 12 of them together.
Al Kapanim, but let's say to make the sun in a flat picture, that is Aser. That to make a picture of the sun, you'll notice in picture books that you know from the Jewish publishing, I mean the firm publishing companies, I don't know, you know, Feldheim, Art Scroll, whichever ones, in their picture, their children's books, their picture books, the sun is always going to be a partial sun. They'll put it in the corner of the page, and you'll have part of the sun. So you can see it's a sunny day, but they won't make the whole disc, because the whole circle. Because the whole circle of the sun or the moon is Aser even in a flat picture. Now, it's if you buy a book that was published by Random House, that's that's fine. But to make it is Aser. So they talk avoid making those pictures.
To draw like a child to draw a picture.
Yeah, you're not supposed to make a picture that's supposed to be the sun if it's the whole sun. So the reason why this whole discussion started, this was a shiur that we were having on Shabbos, was so what about taking pictures of the eclipse? The eclipse was an exciting event, and nowadays people have. I think there's this universal psychological disorder that people nowadays feel that you can't experience an event without taking a picture. Right? If you don't take a picture, you feel like you missed it.
What? It never happened.
Right, it never happened. You feel like you missed it if you don't take a picture. So everybody wanted to experience the eclipse yesterday, which was a gewaltige gezach. I think, experiencing the eclipse, the Rambam says that the best way to come to Avas Hashem is by appreciating nature, by contemplating nature. And, I was speaking to Shulchan Shabbos about how that to sit around watching the grass grow is very boring, and it's hard to just contemplate nature all the time. Nature doesn't really grab our interest. But on the occasions that nature actually does grab our interest, so then it's an opportunity to chap arayin, to really pay attention so that you get impressed by the majesty of the natural world. Of course, we were zeichet to a double feature. First the earthquake, and then the eclipse. Right. That was really special.
But when
it comes to the eclipse, the question was, what about taking a picture? Now, just as an aside, I have no idea if there's what would happen to a camera if you tried taking a picture. Does it damage the lens of the camera?
I took it.
Okay.
You want to see it?
Fine. But first I want to discuss it. First I want to see if it's first I want to give a lecture, and then I'll see it.
But his picture looks like it came out of the Feldheim book because it's a disc. It's not a
whole disc. So that's a good heter for the eclipse, because the sun is not going to be a complete sun, right? It's only going to be a partial sun. So I mentioned before, right, that the Feldheim books do that, but let's just examine that a little more. Because to say that it's only us or if it's whole, and that's based on, let's say, the Rush, who had said that the Isser of making an Adam is only if it's a whole Adam. The Gemara that had said the Isser of making a Menorah is only if it's a 7-branch Menorah, but a 6 or 5-branch Menorah is Mutter. The Isser of the 4-sided Kisei HaKavod is only if you have all 4 sides. So there's a lot of precedence to say that partial images are Mutter. So based on that, we'd like to say that if you have just a sliver of sun, that's only a partial image, so it should be Mutter. The problem is, not so partial, because the pictures in Rambam Gamliel's office, pictures of a moon that he was using to interrogate the Edim, they were not whole moons, because the Edim were coming to tell him about the Kiddush HaChodesh. It was the beginning of the moon, the beginning of the month. So those are pictures of slivers. And yet the Gemara considered, now the Pnei Yeshua asks this kashya. The Pnei Yeshua asks on the Gemara, what's the problem with Rambam Gamliel's pictures with slivers of a moon? That's not a Davar Shalom. Why would that be Aser? So the Pnei Yeshua considers a possibility that the Enochanami, so it must be that the pictures were whole moons with parts of it colored in. So, something like that. I can't tell exactly what he means. But Lamaisa, the later Paiskim accept that no, slivers of a moon are going to be Aser. But there's still a Makom L'chalek. Rav Nissim Karelis writes this out. I think this is an accepted view that there's a Makom L'chalek between a sun and a moon. The moon, which has cycles, And the moon, the way the moon appears in the sky is that it's sometimes whole and sometimes partial. Yeah. So a partial moon is a real moon. That's just as real as a full moon in terms of what the moon looks like. A sliver of a moon or a half moon or a three-quarter moon, those are all real presentations of the moon. So we wouldn't look at that and think of it as a partial picture. But the sun really only comes one way. The sun is a circle. And so if you make a partial circle, nobody would identify that as a sun. That's not what the sun ever looks like. So therefore, on the sun, there's a heter of a partial sun, even if on the moon, there wouldn't be a heter of a partial moon.
But when you're looking at an eclipse,
yeah,
you're really looking at the moon.
Ah, very good. So we have a double issue. So let's take one at a time. So on the sun, we have a good heter. On the sun, if we accept this chiddush of Nissim Karel, again, it's not so poshut because the Gemara does aser slivers of moon, but if we accept that a sliver of a sun is better than a sliver of a moon, so then the eclipse, which is, you know, at its peak, it was a sliver, at least in New York, right, by you, at its peak, it was gone. But over here, at its peak, it was a sliver. Other times, it looked like an apple with a bite taken out of it. But Al-Kapanim wasn't a full, if you were taking a picture of the eclipse, it wasn't a full sun, so the sun is mutter. Mm-hmm. But you're pointing out, but what's making it incomplete? The moon. And the moon was whole. The moon was a complete circle. So why don't we have a problem out the moon? So that's what I was wondering about. So yesterday morning I was at a Bris and Far Rockaway.
Right.
Okay.
Did you see the whole video?
I was. I went over to Rav Binyamin Forst. I was at a Bris, and it's a very, very chashuv paisek.
Wow.
I went over to him because someone had mentioned to me the svara that, yeah, we're seeing the moon, and the moon is a full moon, but the way he put it was, but we're here, Tosis had said that the Isra has a lot to do with how it looks in the sky, right? That's the reason why there's an Isra even on pictures. It's not 3D, because the way it looks in the sky is just flat. So Tosis uses that svara l'chumra, but maybe the same svara could be sort of flipped around. The way we see the moon in the sky is always the illuminated side of the moon. And over here, we're really seeing the other side of the moon.
The dark side of the moon.
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not the moon as it appears in the sky and isn't included in the Isser.
It's the same side. The moon is tidally locked to Earth. So you're always looking at the same side of the moon.
Right. We don't know what the other side of the moon looks like.
Not illuminated. It's the same side. It's just not illuminated.
So, but the part that's facing us during the eclipse is the dark side. Totally.
It's only dark because the sun's not lighting it.
Because the sun's behind it.
The dark side of the moon is not always dark.
Step behind us.
Let me add one more point, and I think we might be saying the same thing. I mentioned this to Rabbi Forrest, and he said that the svara is much stronger than what I'm saying. He said it's mutter. He said you're not taking a picture of the moon. He said not because what you're seeing is the dark side. He said you're not seeing any moon.
Right.
You don't see the moon.
Right.
You just, because you only see moon when it's illuminated by the sun.
Right.
The part that's not illuminated by the sun is completely invisible.
Right.
You're just not seeing the whole sun because there's something blocking it.
Right.
But you're not, the thing that's blocking it is invisible because there's no light that's shining on it. So it's invisible. So you're just seeing the sun with a hole in it. So there's no moon in the picture. What is the sun? The sun is incomplete. So if you accept that heter, that a sliver of sun is mutter, so it should be mutter. So that was the bottom line. That it should be mutter because the sun is just a sliver and the moon is not in the picture. Believe it or not, that beautiful picture that you just showed me. There's no moon in that picture.
Right.
Okay.